do you want to learn how to manipulate your parents?
Oh, that's a great.
And the kids perk up.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you want to be able to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, yes. And I said, this is a secret. Don't let them know. And they're like, oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, you guys, this is Lisa. And on today's episode, we're talking about youth or youths with Kirby Hayborn, and came across this social media comment from Marianne that kind of had to do with this. She said that when she's talking about her body with her kids, with youths, she focuses on its capabilities and not the appearance of her body. And I just thought that was such a great idea. So thanks for commenting. And if you'd like more resources related to body image, we actually did a whole season on it here at The Lisa Show. You can find those podcasts on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, BYU Radio, wherever you listen. Let's get into the episode. Okay, so here's something I've been thinking about lately. Once upon a time, I taught junior and senior high school, everything from 7th to 11th grade. It was wild. And I had grand ideas at the time, in my early 20s, of taking my love of the English language and the written word and being like Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds and really changing minds and lives. Unlike Michelle's character in that 90s classic movie, I didn't teach in an inner city and I didn't change anyone's lives. Well, you know, dramatically anyway. I diagrammed sentences and read poetry to suburban kids in Springville, Utah. Oh, and I taught them the Schoolhouse Grammar Rock song, Conjunction, Junction, What's Your Function? You know, hooking up words and phrases and clauses. I know you know it. Okay, but I learned a lot working with teenagers in a short amount of time. That was the first time I had worked with youths. Yeah, I'm going to be calling them youths throughout this episode, mostly because kids doesn't feel right and baby adults, I'm told, is patronizing. Well, I hate to admit it now because none of this surprises me now, but back then in my early 20s, I was surprised that most of my students didn't care about their grades, like not at all. I quickly figured out that I needed to be a couple steps ahead of them in every case and show no weakness. If I stopped to say, and look for a piece of paper or a lesson plan, it was over. I'd lost their attention. I found, like most adults, that they love to talk about themselves and their point of view. So I learned to get their attention by explaining why this piece of information, like writing a persuasive essay or a compare and contrast paper, might be useful to them now or in the future. But I was surprised, shocked really, that most of them didn't have a lot of experience writing anything. So my goal was to get them to learn habits that were easy but effective. My favorite one was free writing. It's just writing whatever comes to your mind, your pen or pencil never leaving the page. You just write without worrying about punctuation or what you're going to write. If you don't know what to write, you write, I don't know what to write, or anything. No one would read it, not even me, unless you wanted me to read it. There is no wrong way to do free writing, except if you don't write. So at the beginning of the class, I'd have them free write, first for 2 minutes, then up to 10. They resisted, they complained, but I kept thinking and saying, you can write whatever you want, and that's it. You guys, this is easy. So one day, one of my more reluctant students, the tall, skinny youth who sat in the back and wore a Tool t-shirt, you know, he seemed offended that I knew the band that he idolized and seemed outraged when I suggested free writing about his favorite band. Well, he was, especially on this day, particularly bent on turning my easy assignment into a clash of wills. My will to get him to express himself, or at least practice, and his will to perform for his audience of classmates and not write. So after going back and forth with, this really isn't difficult, write anything, and, oh, really? Anything? And the tone when he said it, it did give me pause. I thought, obscenities, intent to perform a crime or confessions of a crime, do I have to report that? And I doubled down and insisted, anything. 5 minutes later, after he happily and loudly wrote the entire time, and I was just going to go on to the next part of my lesson, he interrupted, Mrs. Clark, don't you want to check out to see what I wrote? I knew it was a trap, but I rocked right into it. Sure, only if you want me to. He was so pleased with himself. For as long as I live, I won't forget how pleased he was with himself. So I took the notebook, and it had pages and pages and pages written. Blah, 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 in your face, Mrs. Clark. Blah, 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 here I go. Blah, 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 blah. I looked straight in his eyes and I said, well done. You did the assignment perfectly. I took the wind out of his sails, and I, for a brief second, thought I had won. I had remained calm, you know, after all. He did technically finish the assignment. That was free writing. But I had this uneasy feeling that I had no idea would become a very familiar feeling to me in the coming years, that even though I did what I set out to do, it didn't have the kind of effect or impact I had imagined it would. It did not meet my meaningful expectations. Sure, I may know the band of the shirt you're wearing, but you do not care. Or more significantly, I may want to give you the tools to express yourself more fully to the world, but you may also not care. What I've unfortunately repeated throughout my life and didn't intend is that my love and passion and intent to help use in any way what I want for my own kids, use I teach and look over at church, in the neighborhood, in my extended family, doesn't always translate to what they need. I reason that because I love so much and my intent is so good that that will somehow make up for the delivery or result, and that's just not always true. I've been thinking about the role of intent and desire to do good when working with youths, most notably the two youths I still have left in my home to raise. I still find a disconnect between what I'm trying to do and what is actually done, you know? So I do what I always do when I'm thinking about something a lot. I ask one of my friends for advice. I brought in the big guns for this one, folks. Kirby Hayborn is here. Now, many of you probably know Kirby as an actor, musician, comedian, and host of the show Making Good on BYU TV. Kirby's the nicest guy you'll ever meet. I mean, he even bakes bread in his spare time, like really good bread, like sun-dried tomato and feta bread. But if I'm being honest here, I don't just admire Kirby. I'm really jealous of the fact that Kirby and his wife and kids all sing and play music together on a regular basis, like the Partridge Family, but with less polyester.
We try to gather around the piano and sing every Sunday.
Okay, so I have to tell you that this has always been my dream of a family band. Like, I joke about it all the time because it is really, like, in the middle of my heart.
Yes.
I want it so bad. And my kids have all taken lessons. They all, like, lots of different music lessons, and they will not play together. They will not give me the joy of the family band, which is my dream. They have said repeatedly, quote, you want it too much.
You're too desperate, Mom.
A little bit.
Just tone it down, and maybe
rude?
We will.
So anyway, so I see your family, and I think one time I was at your house, and I, like, recorded some of it, and I showed my older kids, and I showed everybody. I'm like, look what this family does. And they're like, oh, you think you're going to guilt us into that? Sorry. And I was like, no, but look at me, you know, all in it.
Yeah, it's like, so sweet.
Don't you want this too?
And they will.
Maybe.
Yeah, just don't want it so much. Tone it down.
How do I
relegate yourself to
Shaker?
How do
I get them to think it's their idea?
I know, you got to incept them. That's the whole thing that I've learned with children.
Have you seen
Inception?
Oh, Inception.
Yeah, you incept people to make them think that it's their idea. It's just like, oh, hey, oh, that's cool. What a cool idea you had.
Okay, first note to self. Incept my children so I can finally get my family band. Got it. But you should also know that Kirby isn't just a dad of musical kids. He also happens to be the leader of a church congregation. He's the bishop of an LDS ward with many youths, as in enough to populate a cruise ship. The most important thing, though, is that he loves it. He loves working with youth, and they love him. He's clearly got something figured out here, so I sat down with him and asked him his best advice for working with teenagers.
I think it's getting out of the way. Sometimes we think that we are the gatekeepers of all knowledge, and when you let a young person solve their own problem, it kind of goes along with the inception idea that they already have the solution. And I believe that all young people are good at heart and they want to do good and they want to be kind to other people. It's just all these pressures from social media and high school. High school hasn't changed since we went or since when our parents went. There's still the cliques and the struggles. And I've learned that it's taking the time to be one-on-one. That when you look for their strengths and you listen, you lift them, and you love them, all three of those are L's.
They really are.
Yeah.
Live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
Listen, lift.
Lift and love.
Love.
Listen, yeah. Then they rise up to the occasion. And it's such a beautiful thing sitting across from somebody that comes in not feeling like they're worth anything. And then getting them to talk about their strengths. It's getting them to believe in themselves. And it's just really so easy. You listen to them, you grab onto something, and
that's so
when
true.
You validate what they feel, validate what they've said, and you add some more encouragement to that, they come up to that.
Kirby is hitting on an idea here that is foundational for comedians, so let me explain. It's a little rule of thumb for improv called yes and. It's where you take what someone else says on stage and you build on it. You don't contradict it or question it, you just run with it. And in doing so, it makes everyone on stage look good and helps the whole improv group gain momentum. And that's what Kirby's talking about here with the youths. He's saying we should use the same yes and technique when speaking with teens. For example, let's say your teen is mad at you and is letting you have it. A yes and moment might sound something like, yes, it's frustrating, and I'm betting that makes it hard to talk to me right now. Or maybe your teen is overwhelmed with homework. One response could be, yes, you have a lot to do today. And when you're done, you'll feel so good and can spend time with your friends. We all know please and thank you are magic words, but the positivity and affirmation behind yes and may be just as magical. And it makes sense, right? I mean, who doesn't love feeling validated or feeling like someone really gets you or knowing there's a way forward? That's what yes and conversations can do. Kirby does a lot of yes anding with his youth, and it pays off.
I've told my kids that in my own family, in not just in improv, but in life, people love a yes-ander. To take it to the improv metaphor, the scene becomes better. The love is stronger because you can trust each other. When you're lifted up on stage, you do. You rise to the occasion. When someone throws you an easy softball, underhanded pitch on stage, and you know you can knock it out, your confidence is there, and you just step up and you shine. And that's, I think, the main thing is you listen to them, you yes and by lifting them, and then you just genuinely love them. A lot of kids feel like they need to be more, that they're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they go into this place of isolation and they feel alone. And they think they're the only person that's ever felt that. And I like getting vulnerable with them and saying that I've been in that chair too and felt vulnerable and sad and scared and alone. So let's figure this out together. That's one thing I do tell the youth when they come in. I'll say, do you know what? Your parents are just afraid of life as you are right now.
Do you really tell them that?
I do.
I think that is such a great service.
And I tell them, I say, do do you want to learn how to manipulate your parents?
Oh, that's a great.
And and the kids perk up.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you want to be able to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, yes. And I said, this is a secret. Don't let them know. The more you talk to them about everything, the more they're going to let you have freedom.
It's so
and
true.
And if you grab the vacuum one day and just vacuum something, their minds are going to be blown. You're going to have like an 11 o'clock curfew instead of a 10:30.
Seriously.
And they're like, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to do it. So I ask the youth when I meet with them again, how's it going manipulating your parents? And so when you make it like that, they think, oh yeah, oh, it's going great.
I love that.
Yeah.
'Cause it's just transparent.
It is.
You're saying like, it is so easy to crack the code.
So easy.
Let me give you the handbook.
Your mom
this
just
is what
wants
your parents
you to talk.
Want. She just wants you to talk. She wants an 8-second hug.
Yes.
And hey, how was your day? And then like that's the basic.
I've told, there's been a young youth that came in and I said, they talked about how hard it is to communicate with their parents. And I said, is it like when they say, how is your day at school? You just get so angry.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly it. And I go, do you know what, how you can manipulate your mom is always have something. Come
just
home,
know
that you're going to come through that door and you can just show her by having one thing that you can say that happened today and then she'll stop talking. So if she says, so how was your day? And you have an answer, then you can go to the fridge, get your Sunny D and then go up to your room.
Or the purple stuff,
or
whatever.
Purple, yeah.
Pick up what you're dropping.
Yeah. So they do that and then they just have that one specific thing and then the mom is blown away.
I think that is such gold because you're teaching them how to communicate and you're setting them up for better relationships.
Yes.
With their boss, with coworkers, with their spouse, with their own children, with friends. You just like, it's like a good manners kind of,
right.
of thing of like, this
Brooke
is the
Romney.
Bid. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the bid they're asking. You can just return it with one thing.
One thing.
That's it.
It'll
You're
go
done.
So, yeah.
Instead of saying no, all the time.
I don't want to. Which sometimes I feel that way when I come home.
We all do.
Because
you
go through even a beautiful spiritual experience or something hard that you've achieved, and you experience it with other people, and then you come home, and sometimes it's hard to relive it.
Yeah.
Kids that come home from serving a mission for their church, people say, "So, how is your mission?" And like,
you don't even know
do you
to
have
start.
2 years for me to tell you?
Yeah.
Like, where do you start?
Yeah.
And just have one thing to say, oh, I loved this about it. Yeah.
School was great. We had a test. I think I did okay.
Yeah. And I said, you don't even need to do school, like the school work. Tell what you did at lunch or like what you did in between classes.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
This is good. Good information. Have you ever had a moment, though, where you were like, oh, this is difficult. I'm having a hard time connecting with this kid. I'm having a hard time knowing what to say. What do?
You just step back and listen and say,
really?
When you want to talk, I want to listen and I love you. I'm your biggest fan. And you genuinely feel that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a couple that don't want to open up. And it's because they've gone through such hard things, divorce or loss of a parent. And when they're ready, they're ready. So the more that they feel at ease around you, that you're not desperate, then they'll want to have that family band.
I think I'm going to start calling Kirby's ideas here the 3 L's to working with youths. Listen, lift, love. Well, it's the 3 L's and inception, really, but they work. And they work because when we listen and lift and love, what we are also doing is reminding our youth that they are worthy of our time and effort and investment. They matter, and they'll feel that. Now, it would be nice to think that 3 words are all it takes to successfully parent and lead and interact with youth. I think we all know better than that. But Kirby said something that rings true to me. We don't have all the answers, but there are people that do. And if we really want to help our youths, we'll connect them with the people who know more than we do.
You're limited with your knowledge. So if you can point them to a mentor, or in this case, to God, who's limitless, they're going to find better answers than what my world is limited by the lid that I carry around. You know, I only have so much knowledge about stuff. Like a kid comes in that is into gaming. I don't know anything about video games or, but there could be another youth that does. And so you connect them. You get out of the way.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Like you're facilitating it and just sort of teaching skills instead of being the end all be all.
And I think that's important too for adults too.
Mm-hmm.
In a congregation, there are adults who want to be mentors, who want to be needed. And so when you can find and connect those two, everybody feels unified.
Oh, it's so true. Has like working with youth who are not your own kids changed the way that you see your kids?
That's a good question. It's so important. I don't care what meeting I have, what phone call, if one of my kids is talking to me or my spouse, that's the most important thing right then, because it's fleeting and it'll be gone.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to soak it up more. So I think being exposed with these youth and hearing their struggles and concerns, it has amped up the intensity with which I'm looking in their eyes and trying to see into their soul and soaking up every second.
I know, it is fleeting. Isn't that horrible?
Mm-hmm. One thing I have noticed is like my daughters that are still at home, our 8-second hugs are turning into 15-second hugs. And it's almost like, who's going to let go first?
Because it's like you both realize that it's so fleeting. Is that why?
I don't know. Or maybe they just can feel, oh, dad needs this.
Throw him a bone.
Throw him a bone. Throw the old
Dad's
man
Dad's going through something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. But it has kind of turned into, without saying, like, who's going to let go first?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be the one to let go first. I will stay in that hug until you let go. With the show, this last season that we did, that I learned how to jiu-jitsu fight with kids with disabilities, and it was so beautiful. And it's Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and this man is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu famous martial artist, whatever, big UFC champion, but he has a heart of gold. And he taught me that you hug putting your head over the person's left shoulder so that your hearts touch, so it's heart to heart. So I find moments like that to say, oh, I learned this, that if we hug this way, then our hearts are touching. Oh, that's great, Dad.
Isn't that interesting?
Can you feel my heartbeat? Can you feel it?
Oh.
Stay until you can feel it.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
It's just that hope that they know, I don't know, I just want my kids to just to know that kind of love that I have for them.
Yeah.
That even though I make it weird, it's not weird.
It's not weird.
And one thing that I tell them, because Inception, is no one tried harder. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that I've made mistakes.
Yeah.
And you can tell your therapist all about it.
Yes,
and
sure.
And like 100%. Like, I'm not trying to say I did it perfectly.
No, I agree.
And go off into the world. But I tried real, real hard.
I love that.
And that's what I tell
them. Nobody tried harder than
your dad. Nobody tried hard. Yeah. Yeah. Like we tried. We made lots of mistakes, but like we were in it. It wasn't like we were like, well, we don't care. I mean, whatever. You kids just go off and do your own thing. We're like, we ain't trying so hard.
I love it because you learn with each kid.
To my oldest, I'm like, I'm sorry you had to be the first pancake.
Yeah.
But he's like, and then I hate it because he'll be like, well, you know, what are you going to do? Not like, oh, no, you guys were great.
You were so great.
It was like, yeah, I mean, I have some notes, but, you know, you tried hard, so. And I'm like,
I have some notes.
Fair. Well, everybody's got a lot of notes until they have kids.
Yeah, that's true.
And then those notes get just kind of pushed to the side,
right? That is one thing we're looking forward to. And we keep on letting our kids know we will be amazing grandparents.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know, you guys can leave the country. We will watch them. We'll take care of them. We'll follow your rules.
Totally.
For sure.
But ish.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. We'll correct
I'll give them
some
gum.
Things. Yeah.
Like, I will give them gum. My mom's always slipping my kids gum. And I would get so mad when they were little. I'm like, that gum's getting in my hair and in my carpet. And she's like, what? I'm a grandma. And I would get so mad. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give them gum.
We're going to tell them, too. We tried really hard.
You know what I'm going to say? Your parents are trying. Go easy on them. That's what I'm going to tell them.
folks, parenting and working with the youths isn't for the faint of heart. We're going to screw up. We're going to say the wrong thing. And we're going to keep a lot of counselors in business, but we're also going to keep trying. And while there is no rule book here and no one has all the answers, I think Kirby's advice is the perfect place to start. First, listen to our youth. Whether they're in your home or in your community, don't dismiss them out of hand just because they are 12 to 18 and might be driving you crazy. Then lift them up. Find out what matters to them. Yes, and their statements. Remind them with your words that they aren't alone in this. And then love them. Love them by showing interest in their lives. Love them with high fives and fist bumps and hugs. Then love them by getting out of the way. Connect them instead with friends, mentors, and with God, all people who can do things that you can't. And then watch what our youths can do when they know we have confidence in them. Now, I know this may not be the cure-all for every tense interaction with teens. I mean, to be honest, I know plenty of kids, including my own, who would die inside if you tried to hug them at all, much less for 8 seconds. Just depends on the time of the day, right? But that's the beauty of working life through with friends. We take their wisdom and apply what we can, where we can, how we can. I really wish I could redo that scene with the young man in the tulle t-shirt in the back of my English class. We had a lot to give each other, but it was going to take more than a battle of wills to get there. If I could go back, I would take Kirby's advice and start with some yes-anding. Yes, tool shirt guy. I know writing isn't always comfortable and that thinking up something to fill a page can be a hassle. But then I could lift him by telling him about the strengths I saw in his last assignment and that he was just more than a student. He was a cool person with good ideas. I don't know how that scenario would have played out, but I do know one thing for sure. Tool shirt guy and I would have gotten something out of our class period together. He would know that I cared about him and saw the good in him. And I would know that I'd done my best to listen, lift, and love a kid who really needed it. I'm so grateful for Kirby Hayborn, who was willing to make my day a little brighter with his wit and wisdom. And it reminds me just how much we can learn from one another and that life is always better with a friend.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price, with help from Becca Hurley and Kenny Mears. For more information about our guest Kirby Hayborn, links to his work will be in our show notes. If you haven't subscribed to The Lisa Show on YouTube, you can find even more content on our channel, including The Council of Moms, filmed live in our studio. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.